Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Yo, what's happening? Tiki and Tierney Show. It's Tiki Barber. It's Brandon Tierney. We got a lot to hit. Dodgers World Series. Oh, how do you pull Blake Snell? How do you pull Snell? Anyway, we're ready to roll inside of our studio, the Rocket Mortgage Studio. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, how do you pull Snell? Rocket can. What's happening on this very busy Wednesday around the country? Hopefully everybody's doing well. That's a wrap on the 2020 season, as crazy as it was. I think they're still booing Manfred Teak. We got a lot to unpack. What's happening, buddy? How are you?
Yeah, no, it was an epic night for the L.A. Dodgers. 32 years since their last championship, and so many storylines, from Mookie to Clayton Kershaw to Justin Turner, Corey Seager, who was just a monster in both the NLCS and the World Series, MVP of both of those. But yeah, how can you not start by talking about the Rays and Kevin Cass's decision?
I hate that you have to do this, but you have to, because that is, you know, you want to say, well, the lead is the World Series championship. Yeah, it's the lead, but when story B is so big, it really does almost place a different priority on the conversation. So we're going to roll through a bunch of sound. First, let's make sure we do give the proper props here. It's been a long time, as Tiki said, 30-plus years. Kirk Gibson off that hanging slider. Dennis Eckersley back in the 88 World Series. Hey, yo, Kirk, do you have one swing for me? I got you, Skip. And he kind of lumbers out of the dugout. He hobbles around the base. One of the great calls of all time. So we want to make sure we prop up the Dodgers. Then we'll just analyze the Snell stuff from every single conceivable angle. But first up, Dave Roberts, prophetic after wrapping up the NLCS.
We have a lot of work to do, but for the Dodger fans that are here, the ones that aren't here, we love you, we're thinking about you, and this year is our year. This is our year.
Roberts to the crowd, we did it.
This is our year. We said it. This is our year.
What a year, by the way.
Everyone in this ballpark wearing Dodger blue. Everyone all over the world wearing Dodger blue. Never wavered. This is our year.
Cedar Pop, which I don't think anybody's really waiting on, but what a World Series, Teak, huh?
Yeah, no, it was a great World Series. And again, we stick with Kevin Cash because that's a decision that everybody is going to debate and argue about and lambast him for. You pull Blake Snell after six innings. He's given up his second hit after five and a third. You bring in Nick Anderson because you don't want him to face, that is Blake Snell, former Cy Young winner, who's pitching a gem, nine strikeouts at that point, to face Mookie Betts again the third time through the lineup. And again, I know this is analytics. This is what we've all come to rely on from the Tampa Rays. And when they have leads this late in games, it's usually Katie, you know, see ya, right? We got this reliever's coming in, then we got this guy, and then this guy, and then this guy. They're all throwing gas, and we're going to shut you down. We're going to win this one and take it to a seventh game. Unfortunately, because of how well Blake Snell was pitching when he got taken out, mm-hmm. as Corey Seager said, it uplifted them. It made them feel good. And you're talking about from the Dodgers, and we know how the rest of the story played itself out. And while it's easy to criticize Kevin Cash, this is what they've been doing all season long. So I can't really fault him. I know that there is that you got to have your instincts got to take over. But organizationally, this is what they've been doing for 3-4 years now, BT. So how can you abandon just because you're on the heightened stage?
You can't. And that's why I think a lot of the ire, if not all the ire, that's being directed in the direction of Kevin Cash this morning and today is wrong. It's being placed, and it's first of all, it's wasted energy because this was a predetermined situation. This was a collective decision. This is an organizational decision. This was not Kevin Cash's decision. This was the Tampa Rays decision. Now, listen, I am all for analytics. I truly am. I believe there's a real place for numbers, provided there's a human element that you don't completely ignore. But pertaining, which they did, but pertaining to analytics in general, I'm a firm believer in, being adaptable to the modification of the player, which would be Blake Snell, who's your best.
Yes.
And also being, pliable enough to modify it to the situation, which is, well, how good is that player, playing? If it's anybody but Snell, there's nothing to discuss.
Yeah.
And if they were winning 4-3 or 5-4, there's nothing to discuss, but it's one of the best pitchers in the game, and he's got hardware to back that up. He's a young ascending player, and he was so good. And listen, you say Seager said it, Mookie Betts said, I got a good cut for Mookie. I'll play in a moment. But, you can quantify a million things. You can't quantify the surge in confidence, Tiki,
yeah.
in the opposing dugout when a guy you cannot hit is pulled. There's no analytics-driven data for that. It's like, everybody, there's just certain golf courses that fit certain players' eyes. Imagine if you were able to delete a hole that, Tiger Woods historically never plays this hole well. Just get rid of it. Delete it. You certain things you can't do and certain things you can't quantify. When Blake Snell walked off that mound, the Dodgers said, it's go time. Listen to Mookie Betts.
Yeah.
I was like, whew, thank you. He was rolling. He was pitching a fantastic game. And, I'm not exactly sure why, and I'm not going to ask any questions. I'm just going to be happy that we're winners.
That the team got, and obviously Mookie Betts took immediate advantage. By the way, Mookie Betts was 0-4 with 4 strikeouts against Blake Snell in this World Series. In the first game that he pitched, and then obviously in Game 6 as well, he'd gone 0-2 for 2 strikeouts. And Mookie Betts doesn't strike out a lot at all. And so to be 0-4 against Blake Snell, and all of a sudden you see Nick Anderson coming in, his eyes had to be lighting up. And we all know, that he ripped a double and, put a runner in scoring position, then a wild pitch netted that first run. And so it became a moment for the Dodgers it's backwards as it sounds, became a moment for the Dodgers to rally around. And once they rallied around the move of the opposing skip, it just felt like there was no way that the Rays were going to get any of that back, especially because of the Dodgers bullpen. And we've been talking a lot about Dave Roberts and how he's managed his bullpen. Sometimes he's done it well, a lot of times not so well, especially when he tries to start with relievers. But the way that he managed it after Gonsolin gave up that early home run to Randy Rosarena,
just
ridiculous postseason he had.
I don't know, he didn't really swing.
I know, man. It was like opposite field. It was a ball, dude.
Yes, it was. It was a great pitch.
It was outside the strike zone, and he took it yard. So, mm-hmm. If they had MVP for the loser, that dude should have won it. But, you got to give credit to the Dodgers.
For sure.
For having so much, having the ability to turn what was a horrendous night at the plate around immediately, right? As soon as they got that chance, Blake Snell's on the bench. You got Nick Anderson, you know, on the mound. They flipped it immediately.
Double,
they took
boom.
Advantage right away. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's not easy to do. They made it look easy, but it's not easy to do.
Well, while it was an organizational decision, there's not going to be four or five people with microphones answering to the to what went awry. That's one man's job. That's Kevin Cash. And here he is on pulling Snell.
The only motive was that the lineup the Dodgers feature is as potent as any team in the league. Personally, I felt Blake had done his job and then some. Mookie coming around for the third time through. I value that. I totally respect and understand the questions that come with it. This organization is tremendous about giving the staff the trust to make the in-game decisions that we feel is going to make or give us the best chance to win. And I totally respect that.
Again, you've got to be adaptable.
What it unfolded today was pretty tough.
Situation. They will lament this for the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
They really will.
Yeah, because there's
he can say whatever he wants about, I'm on board, I believe. And he's a stand-up guy, and he took the bullets, you know, the way you have to take them. But you can't duck them, and he didn't. But and he took them for other people, too. But they are, you know, just based on the finances and based on the state, you know, the White Sox are coming. Other teams are coming now. Obviously, you know, you got the Yankees. You got some heavyweights in the American League. The chances that they get back to the World Series are relatively nominal next year. And that at that point, you know, who knows? I mean, you just don't know. And they left it. Now, there's no guarantee they win Game 7. There's no guarantee they win Game 6.
Yeah, that's
but
right.
But the fact that they've got to be that they're faced with that answer or that question, pardon me, that will linger and hover, you know, in the deepest recesses of their minds and their fans' minds. Baseball pundits will never forget this. That's a tough one to swallow.
Yeah, it is. But you know, I don't want to say the lucky thing because it's not. You know, the season was so odd and, you know, truncated. What did they win? 40 games. So they were, you know, they were one of the best teams in the American League.
They were the best team in the American League.
Yeah, exactly. They managed well. They hit when they had to. They pitched well because that's been the narrative for them all season long. You know, is there momentum to be taken away from that? Obviously, they're young. As you know, let's not forget that. And Arozarena is not going anywhere. It's crazy that he was, you know, in the Cardinals organization, and like they didn't see any value in
them. So was Luke Voigt, Teak.
Yeah, I know.
So was Luke Voigt.
What the heck is wrong with the Cardinals?
I don't know, man.
Shipping these guys off, but I mean, Arozarena is young. I mean, he's a rookie. Think about this. I saw this stat, and it was like the amount of home runs that Arozarena's hit in this postseason. Some guys, including Aaron Judge, didn't hit in the regular season.
Well, the stat that I believe it was the most since Keller in like 1930. I mean, you start referencing the name Keller,
yeah,
and you get back to the 30s and the 40s. There's a couple of stats that apply to Arozarena that long ago. The kid is an absolute beast.
Yeah, so there's hope there. Mm-hmm. Hope, it's not reality. It's not like the Dodgers, who you knew were just going to be year over year one of the best teams in baseball. And if they miss out one year, you know what? There's a good chance they're going to get back the following season. The Rays don't have that luxury, especially with the Yankees in their division, who, you know, just been battling bad luck and injury and everything for the last couple of years, including this one, and their staff has not been put together. If they should get some arms, the Yankees, the Rays, it's not going to be as easy as a road as it has been.
I mean,
it's getting a little bit tougher for L.A. because the Padres and, you know, some of these other teams will come up as well, but the Dodgers just always will outspend you. And, you know, you sign an MVP at 27 years old in a trade. You get Mookie Betts in a trade at 27 from the Red Sox, which makes no sense for them to trade him, but they don't want to go over the tax. So they trade him. LA picks him up, signs him to a lifetime deal, basically. And, you know, you're justified if you win a World Series. Guess what? They win a World Series.
I know. You know, and it's not just that it's that they're not the Dodgers, and for all the reasons that you just chronicled, that it's very different. It's just the inability to predict baseball, unlike any, I mean, football is very all over the map too, but you know that as long as AD and LeBron are healthy next year, they'll be up there 50 wins. They'll have a minimum, they'll have a chance to win the championship. Same with the Warriors, etc. You know, baseball, one bad hop, one guy, you know, UCL injury, done for the year. You just don't know. So, you know, all these unknowns, to be a little redundant there, with baseball make the make it impossible to spin this positively outside of saying that they're a terrific organization. They're run very well. They've got their belief system, which they don't deviate from, which at the end of the day burnt them. But really, based on their lack of revenue stream, it's the way they have to do it. So it served them well until this point. But then the flip side is, you know, you got somebody like Clayton Kershaw now who has forever stamped. Now, to me, it was preposterous that he needed to win a World Series to be an all-time great, but I got it.
Yeah.
You know, I understood. So now where we are with Kershaw, you've got a three-time Cy Young winner. You've got a five-time ERA champion. He's third career winning percentage. He's fourth in career whip. He's second career in adjusted ERA plus, and now he's a World Series champion. And at this point, at least for my money, and I could rip through names, but I won't, he is one of the top 10 or 12 pitchers of all time.
Yeah,
say that.
Yeah, it's easiest. Didn't he win an MVP also?
I said he's got an MVP.
Yeah, so, I mean, of course. Yep. Of course he is. Look, there was this roaring elephant in his postseason room, and he quieted it. And that's all you needed him to do. We started this show, 8 years ago now, BT?
Yeah, January 2nd, 2013.
One of the first things I said was, I like the stories of greatness, especially when I don't have a dog in the fight. I didn't have a dog in this fight with Tampa or L.A., but I love the greatness story of Clayton Kershaw, and there was that one flaw that he just couldn't get past. And after two games and two wins and three earned runs and in those two games, both victories for L.A., he's quieted all of that noise that was hopping onto his back saying that he wasn't one of the greats, especially because of his postseason failures.
We're going to get into the Justin Turner situation next, but before we turn the page a little bit, let's at least hear from Clayton Kershaw, finally a champ.
I've been saying, you know, World Series champs in my head over and over again just to see if it'll sink in. And I can't put it into words yet. I'm just so very thankful to be a part of this group of guys.
One of the good guys, one of the great players, certainly pitchers of all time. But I'll tell you, you know, baseball, which had some early situations, the Cardinals, the Phillies, a few other, the Marlins, how they navigated this condensed 60-game season was impressive, especially since it was without a bubble. They were precariously close to having their season flipped on its rear, and without a real steady commissioner, I have no idea which way this was going to go. We're going to get into or could have gone, God forbid. We're going to get to Justin Turner's situation next. Should he have been on the field? You feel one way or the other. There's no in between there, I don't think. So we'll get to that and also play talk about being vociferously booed. Yeah, any sense of it? There was only 12,000 people in the stadium. Imagine if it was a full house. The commissioner was booed to Oklahoma out of the state of Texas. We'll play that for you as well. But the Turner situation is crazy. We'll get to that coming up next right here on Tiki and Tierney. All right, no better place to get in on all the action, football action, than with DraftKings, official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. Draft your lineup, feel the sweat like never before. Maybe you were sweating the World Series. I actually had the Dodgers -1.5 last night. Thank you very much. But anyway, every run, pass, and catch means a little more with DraftKings. It's simple. Just pick your lineup, stand to the salary cap, that's key, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Nothing adds to the excitement like watching the game and having a shot at millions of dollars in prizes. So if you haven't signed up yet, what are you waiting for? Get in the game right from your couch, right from the phone. Download your DraftKings fantasy app now, the daily fantasy app, and use code Tierney. That's me, T-I-E-R-N-E-Y. The app is sweet. I mean, it's just so easy to navigate. It pops off the page. It looks cool. It's vibrant. It's so, more importantly, it's easy, and it's effective, and it's efficient. So download the app. All right, use code Tierney, T-I-E-R-N-E-Y. Get hooked up. And for a limited time, new users can get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes this week. Don't miss it out on all the week's action, all the fun, because here we are. Week 8 begins tomorrow. Got to saddle up. Saddle up, partner. What movie is that from? Who knows? Say it in your car. Dumb and Dumber. All right. Enter code Tierney. Get a free shot. Millions. That's code Tierney. Only at DraftKings. Code Tierney. One more time. T-I-E-R-N-E-Y. Only at DraftKings. Make it rain. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. That's DraftKings.com. All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line here on Tiki and Tierney. Yep, celebrating the Dodgers championship. Little California. It's 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Want to know what's really scary? Seeing just how much you could have been saving on car insurance by switching to Geico. It'll keep you up at night. Switch to Geico and save. All right, so we've unpacked it all from Dave Roberts' prophetic claims after winning the NLCS and backing it up and enjoying that moment last night with the microphone. We heard from Clayton Kershaw, finally a champion. We heard from Mookie Betts on the surge of confidence and energy that just ripped through the dugout when Blake Snell was pulled. We heard from Kevin Cash on why Blake Snell was pulled. We'll hear from Rob Manfred in a moment, who was just booed out of the state of Texas. But let's get into this situation with Justin Turner, who was obviously pulled from the game late eighth inning. COVID-19 comes back positive. I mean, first of all, how in the world? I don't pretend to understand all of the logistics of taking the tests, shipping it to the laboratory, and getting it in a timely manner. I don't pretend to know all the nuance there.
Yeah.
But for the World Series, how do you get a result back in the seventh inning?
I don't know. Look, he tested inconclusive on his Monday test. His Tuesday's test, he was supposed to get it back before the game last night. It did not obviously happen, and he was in the field. And so he was asked to isolate, and the MLB has recently come out and said that Justin Turner emphatically refused to comply with the isolation order and forced his way back onto the field, which in some ways I get. I mean, yep. He's such a long-tenured staple heart of this L.A. Dodgers team, and, you know, his whole history from remaking a swing and everything, his look, his attitude, his hustle, right? He's the Dodgers in so many ways, and so I get it. And to be honest with you, I don't think any of his teammates are upset about this, you know, right now. That is until they test positive for the coronavirus themselves. But with that being said, I mean, he was around these guys in the dugout and
correct,
hanging out and, you know, sitting between them and talking face to face, all the things that he was doing in the post game celebration. If he was exposing guys, they probably were already exposed.
Yep.
Now, does this become a super spreader event? I don't know, but it's hard to feel angry with him, even though some people are trying to be angry with
no,
him.
No, I'm not going to waste any energy on that. Trust me, I'm not trying to minimize the virus here, but everything that you just said, I'm with. You know, an entire lifetime, you know, trying to get to this moment, and you just get blasted with this mindset-altering news result, you know, 3 hours into a clincher, two and a half hours into a clincher. You might do something that's probably not the smartest thing to do, so I'm going to give him a little pass there. People are going to disagree with that, and that's fine. Here's the thing, though. The point of... I'm not gonna change anybody's opinion on this, and I'm not trying to, but I do think it's important. Go back to when Kershaw was pulled the other night.
Mm-hmm.
If you saw that close circle, now a lot of times the pitchers will put their glove up in front of their face so the opposing team can't tell what they're telling the catcher,
yep,
whether it's pitch sequence or sign sequence, whatever it might be, strategy. You see that all the time, right? If you look at that scene on the mound, everybody that the entire team, Muncy's right there. You got Turner right there. You got Seager right there. You got Kiki right there. And they are all talking. And Justin Turner is as close to everybody as the other guys are.
Yeah.
So it's just, you know, to go on this crusade, you know, super spreader event. Oh, it's so reckless. Oh, it's so selfish. I'm going to let somebody else tackle that one. Let me give you a little quote, though, from MLB. This was from Bob Nightingale, who got this from the commish. Quote, immediately upon receiving notice from the laboratory of a positive test, protocols were triggered, leading to the removal of Justin Turner from last night's game. Turner was placed into isolation for the safety of those around him. However, following the Dodgers' victory, it is clear that Turner chose to disregard the agreed-upon joint protocols and the instructions he was given regarding the safety and protection of others. While the desire to celebrate is understandable, Turner's decision to leave isolation and enter the field was wrong and put everybody else he came in contact with at risk. When MLB security raised the matter of being on the field with Turner, he emphatically refused to comply. There's a little bit more, whatever. They can say, look into it. That's the short version there. The only thing that I can really get on him for, keep the damn mask on the field.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree with
that. That's moronic.
Especially after, you know, maybe take it off to take that one picture, but then put it back on immediately. But Look, I don't know what MLB should do. Should they fine him? Should they suspend? I honestly don't care. He's a World Series champion, and that's what was most important for him in the moment. You can't force that joy out of him by what comes downstream, and whatever it is, it's going to be what it is, and you're not taking the moment away from him. That's honestly how I feel about it, and I'm sure he feels the same way.
We're on the same page, man, and if you disagree, that's fine. Respect your opinion. We just see it differently. Let's hear from Rob Manfred. Is there anybody more uncomfortable with a microphone in a position of authority than this guy? Now, to be fair, and I was a little worried because, you know, you get the jokes. Is he drunk? Of course he wasn't drunk, please. I said to myself in bed, I said, is he having a stroke? Mm. His words were so slurred and so disjointed.
Yeah, was it cold? It wasn't cold down there.
No,
right?
No, it was the reverb from the microphone feed from the stadium that he was getting, like basically kickback in his ears. And that's happened to us on occasion.
That's right.
And it is impossible to speak.
Yeah, no,
because
yeah.
Go ahead.
I know what you're saying. He had ear traffic in his ears. And so sometimes if it's off, it's hard to ignore it. You know what I mean? So like if someone's or just like when you're on air and someone's trying to talk to you down your IFB, mm-hmm. you know what I mean, into your ear while you're talking, it can easily throw you off. So that's what was going on.
Yes, and it's happened to me a few times, and it is incredibly disconcerting because you hear your own voice loudly mm-hmm. as it would project on the radio or TV or in an arena or stadium, but there's like a second delay. So as you're trying to formulate your next thought, your brain is getting pounded by your previous statement or syllables. Yeah. It's really hard. So I'm going to give him a pass there.
Yeah, I hear you.
But he was still booed and rightfully, hey, there's the piece of tin. There's the trophy. Here's Rob Manfred.
Let me start with the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred.
2020 is going to be remembered. Thank you. 2020 is going to be remembered as a baseball season like no other.
By the way, it sounded like, you know.
Who was clapping, by the way?
I think that was Corey Seager. It was a player, and I thought it was Corey.
Good. He won the MVP, so he should have.
Exactly. I don't know if he meant it, but he did it. It is almost like an old WWE or F heel manager back in the day. This is what I thought of. With a microphone, like Bobby Heenan purposely waiting, or Jimmy Hart, like imploring the crowd to get worked up in a frenzy, and they're almost playing to the moment. What I think was happening was that somebody was communicating in his ear, Rob, we have an issue, hold on for a second. And then I just think he got all out of whack, because I do think that the booze really became pretty disconcerting, and it got into his mind flow.
Yeah.
But, you know, listen, he deserved those boos.
Of course
he deserved them.
Yeah, especially when he's talking about 2020 and his handling of the Astros situation that we all know. The Dodgers felt like they were robbed of a title. So, look, I you get it. It is what it is for a commissioner. You know, Roger Goodell has been booed heavily at times throughout his career, but he's done his job, kept his head down, and eventually you come out of it, at least if you keep doing good things for the body at large, meaning the league at large and the players. And ultimately, Roger Goodell doesn't get booed like that anymore. Rob Manfred's going to get booed like this for a while because of the whole Astros situation and how he handled even this offseason and this season. And the negotiations, if you want to even call them that, if they were even that.
Well, transparency, the lack thereof.
Yeah, there was no transparency. None. And it really wasn't a negotiation. They were just kind of stalling time to save money. So, yeah, it is what it is. Rob Manfred got booed, but it's the lesser of the big stories around Major League Baseball.
True. In my mind, though, embrace the villainous characteristic like David Stern did.
Yeah. Good
you
point.
Know, David Stern would at the NBA draft, which was, you know, always in New York, he would just walk up there and, he knew the boos were coming, and he would actually like wave to the crowd, like, come on, all right, get it out. We know it's coming. Let's go, Larry. Are you good? Can we proceed? Like, I know that last night probably wasn't the place to actually do that. But for his mental health, or at least for his ability to do his job and enjoy it for the next however many years. Just, you know what, take on the villainous role and the dark cape and accept it. Because you're not going to change anybody's opinion.
That's a good point.
You know what I mean?
Very good.
All right, Teek, let's get the update. Rich Ackerman is in the house. The Dallas Cowboys unloaded one of their top pass rushers. Where'd he go? How much of an impact can he make? Inbounds, out of bounds. We'll hit that after Axe update, which is right now. Here's Rich. All right, inbounds, out of bounds coming up in a moment. Obviously starting the show and got deep into the World Series. Love to get some tweets, get your thoughts on Justin Turner going on the field, Kershaw's legacy, the decision by the Rays to yank Snell, who was unhittable. Anyway, get us on Twitter at Teek and Tierney. It is now time to ask the pros. Give you a chance to ask us anything you want. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Pretty easy. Drop us a tweet on CBS Sports Radio. Use the hashtag AskThePros and make sure you listen later on. And Teek and I will answer the best one. So whatever strikes us as interesting, most interesting, we will answer it. And we'll give you some props on the air as well. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts. All your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts. Better prices every single day. Next hour, Jay Wright. Some very interesting comments on the state of college basketball. Big East had its media day. This is more not just about the Big East. This is about a virtual media day, obviously. This is about the sport in totality and the viability of a season without bubbles and pods. So we'll get to that. Trevor Lawrence will follow up that conversation, non-committal about his future. But is it just about the Jets or maybe other teams?
Mm-hmm.
We'll get to that. But right now, Teek, time for a little inbounds, out of bounds. You ready to roll?
I am, as always.
Let's go.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now. Tiki and Tierney.
To mess around and save this guy's job? Lions. Mm-hmm. And embattled head coach Matt Patricia. Suddenly a surprising 3-3 after last week's pretty surprising win against the Falcons. Certainly the way it went down was surprising. You know, that big gash play to Galladay and then Hawkinson, the touchdown, crazy stuff. Then the penalty. Prater's got to go for a 48-yard PAT. Anyway, the Lions now, they've made a trade. They've dealt a conditional 6th-round pick to Dallas for pass rusher Everson Griffin. Through a defense right now that's 27. Remember, Patricia's a defensive guy. So their defense is 22nd in yards and 20th in points. Their offense is better than their defense. In or out, Matt Patricia must finish 500 or better to keep his job.
I would say, yeah, but I think if they're almost there now. You know, they're where they're sitting there at 500 right now. And if you look at how well they're playing in critical situations, I think they'll get there. But I think the expectation was probably a bit higher. And so if he doesn't, so I'm going to say inbounds, if he doesn't finish above 500, otherwise why would they have kept him?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say, yeah, it's probably time to move on. But I think they will. I think they're playing better football and more accountable football.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to have to finish 500 to keep his job, but I still think he could get fired. Like, even if he even if he finishes 500, mm-hmm. I believe he can get fired.
Yeah.
Because the way this season's going to go, first of all, I think they're going to lose their next game, so they will be right back to below. They're playing the Colts, who are coming off a bye. And then, you know, you got a couple of softer games, Minnesota, Washington, Carolina, games you could win, Houston for sure. But the last five games of the season, at Chicago, it's going to be cold, divisional, a tough one, Green Bay, at Tennessee, Tampa, and then Minnesota. And, you know, who knows where Minnesota's head is, but if they've got a little talent, not like Minnesota can't beat you. I mean, they could conceivably lose 4 or 5 to finish the season, finish at 500, but the optics of the finish to the season necessitate a move. So whether or not he's barely over 500, barely under, unless they actually get to the playoffs, I think Matt's gone. I do not think it has worked out. I do not believe in Matt Patricia there. Maybe he'll be better his next job if he gets one, but I'm not feeling it in Detroit with Matt Patricia.
Are you in or are you out?
Russell Wilson, he's never received a single MVP. Who votes? What morons vote? Never received a single MVP vote, as we've said millions of times on the show. But right now, Vegas has the Seattle quarterback as the favorite to win the MVP this year, despite a really rough game this past week against Arizona, 3 losses. Now, right now, Wilson's at minus 110. All right, so that's almost even money, but it was like minus 360 before the Cardinals game. It dropped. He's minus 110. Aaron Rodgers next at plus 400. So if you bet $100 and Rodgers wins, you win 400. Followed by Mahomes, Brady, and what do you know? My guy, has entered the conversation. Who called it? I did. Kyler Murray. In or out, despite his performances and, you know, this weekend, Wilson is still our favorite for the MVP.
I'm going to say inbounds of this, BT. I know the three interceptions were ugly. And that gives them, I think, four on the season. But, you know, Russell Wilson, he's still leading the league in passing touchdowns with 22. And he's always going to give his chance a team to win. He's got the best passer rating in the NFL as well right now. Now, the yards aren't – he's not up there with, you know, the Matt Ryans and Deshaun Watsons of the NFL right now. But when he needs to make plays, he makes plays. And the reason they're winning, because their defense has been so bad, it's why they traded. At least they're potentially trading for Carlos Dunlap, it seemed, I heard before the show started, the disgruntled defensive end from the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yep.
I'm going to say, yeah, he's still my leader, because all the other guys, Aaron Rodgers had that one bad day. Derrick Henry had an off day.
Hasn't had a horrendous day yet.
He did that first
against
game.
The Saints. Yeah,
but almost washed that one out, right?
Yes.
So I'm going to say inbounds, but these guys are closing on him.
I totally agree. I think that's the perfect read right now. If the season's over, Wilson's the MVP. But there's enough situations that make this a tantalizing race down the stretch. And, you know, who else? Let's even extend it. Like, I mean, I didn't listen. They're not going to go. But what if the Steelers, like, went 15-1? Yeah, I mean, you never know.
That's a good point.
Who knows about Big Ben, where he finishes statistics? You just don't. What if, you know, Derrick Henry, you've been touting him, rightfully so. You know, Ryan Tannehill, you just never know. I like the list. I probably even agree with the order. And I do agree with the fact that Wilson right now should be the favorite heavily at -110.
Are you in or are you out?
The Mavericks are building something nice. Luka Doncic, Kristaps Porzingis, pushing the Clippers to 6 in the first round. By the way, KP had surgery around his knee again. People missed that about a month or so ago. People did not really. That was not a big story. We were busy, but he did have another procedure, small one. Anyway, there's reports now, the Dallas Morning News, that Dallas is willing to trade anybody other than Luka or KP to land a third star. So right now, however, the really only names that are there, guys like Chris Paul, Gordon Hayward, DeMar DeRozan, LaMarcus Aldridge. I mean, Aldridge shouldn't even be on that list. He's not even close to being a star. Or Victor Oladipo with the Pacers. In or out. The Mavericks should stand put rather than make a deal for any of these players.
I'm going to say out of bounds. If you're talking specifically these players, DeMar DeRozan fits the bill as a difference maker, because he can play off the ball as he's used to doing with John Wall whenever he comes back. But DeMar DeRozan can score, and I think he's evolved into this mini star. He doesn't need to be the superstar. He just needs to be that B star, or C, depending on how Kristaps is. But I think out of bounds because DeRozan's on this list. I really have grown to like him.
Yeah, I'm not a big DeRozan guy. I'm just not for the modern NBA. Trust me, I know he's good, and I know he puts the ball in the hole. First of all, he's not young. He's been around a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And he is just not a three-point shooter, and he never will be.
He was okay, but he was a playmaker in San Antonio last year.
Short season. Stats are a little skewed. Shorter season. Stats are a little skewed. He's just not a shooter.
Yeah.
I'm not saying there's no value. Don't get me wrong, Teak. You know, he's an all-star, but I would, of these players here, I'm going to say out of bounds. I'm going to say out of bounds because I think that if they acquire the right guy, they can maybe make a run and have a puncher's chance for a championship this year without compromising the integrity and their pursuit of future championships when Doncic is fully in bloom in its prime here. So why the hell not? I mean, Oladipo would strike me as interesting. Aldridge, no thank you. DeRozan, no thank you. Chris Paul's contract, no thank you. Gordon Hayward's a guy, because his contract's just about up, that I would say, even though he's not a superstar, as a third, remember, they still have Timmy Hardaway, he's not bad. Like, as a fourth guy, I'd say I'd be okay with that. I'm going to say, no, don't stand pat. Make a move. If you can get better, go get it.
Are you in or are you out?
Daryl Morey is looking for a new job. After parting ways with the Rockets this offseason, or is he? Woj with a little mini bomb sprinkled into the Twitter sphere today. Reports that Morey and the Sixers, they've got mutual interest and are way, way into advanced talks to put Morey in a position to oversee the team's basketball operations. Now, they just hired Doc Rivers. Elton Brand's the GM. Elton Brand, according to reports, would remain the GM although maybe he has some of the claws cut a little bit. I don't know. In or out, bringing in Morey is a bad decision for the Sixers.
I'm going to say out of bounds. I think it's a good decision because it does take some of that pressure off of Elton Brand, who hasn't done a good job. I really like Elton Brand. He's a good dude. I spent some time with him, and I think he's trying. But I think his some of those decisions over the last couple of years have not been ideal for the development of this team. So I think bringing in Daryl Morey is a good thing for the 76ers because he's not going to be your GM, but he's going to be there to kind of police some of those decisions. And he's built winners before, not champions, but he's built some good squads. I wouldn't say out of bounds. I don't think it's a bad decision.
I think it's a great decision. They need an infusion of that in that franchise. They're incredibly inefficient. From their shot selection to their propensity to make shots. Are you kidding me? This is an outstanding move. I mean, this is the kind of move that can really, really alter things in the Eastern Conference. I think that much of this move. If you really think about, listen, I've been all over James Harden the last couple of years. Everybody knows that. I don't need to reset that. But I will at least give, you know, the team credit, and that's Daryl Morey, in terms of constructing a team that at least coming into the year, the last couple of years, theoretically, has had a chance to compete and beat the Warriors. Nobody else could really say that. I mean, think about that. If James Harden made some shots against the Warriors a couple times.
Or Chris Paul stays healthy.
They may have clipped him once, maybe twice. So I think it's a terrific decision. He'll be revitalized. It's a different look, and it's an injection of something they need. Great move.
Are you in or are you out?
All right. After his breakout performance on Friday, Wisconsin quarterback Graham Mertz tested positive for COVID-19. We've talked about this. And based on Big Ten rules, which are ridiculous, he's going to have to miss the next 21 days in quarantine and testing to make sure he doesn't suffer long-term damage. Now, the teams canceled their game this weekend against Nebraska. That just happened today after 12 people, including head coach Paul Christ, also tested positive. And the game will be declared a no contest. So we all, and you've been saying forever, there's no way the Big Ten plays 8 games. Well, here we are, you know, one full week into their return, and one of the top teams in the conference already gets hit with a no contest. In or out, the Big Ten's being too cautious with their COVID rules and protocols.
It's impossible for me to agree with that. I got to say out of bounds because of their belief that myocarditis is a big deal after they had so many of their players tested for it. At the early stages of this coronavirus pandemic, we know that some of these Midwest schools have had some of the biggest outbreaks on grounds on campus of any you know, organizations in the country. So I'm going to say out of bounds. I think they're being as cautious as they need to and want to be.
They are being way too cautious, and it's unfair to the conference. Absolutely in bounds. I mean, they're asking them to go, you know, compete for a championship with one hand behind their back, which is what I said yesterday. I think it's just, you know, like I say, it's dumb because anything, you know, around medicine, I want to stay in my lane here, but it's unfair. It's not equitable is how I'm trying to frame this. It's not equitable to the rest of the college football landscape. And for that reason, you're at a competitive disadvantage, which is not right by the kids. I can't stand this. Absolutely way too cautious. No doubt about it. Way in bounds.
Tune in next time for another edition of Inbounds or Out of Bounds with Tiki and Tierney.
Daryl Morey thing, we weren't surprised because we did not think that he was going to be out of the game long. That is a really, really interesting addition by that team.
Yeah,
really,
I think it's a smart addition by the team. And, you know, I think it just helps Elton do his job better. And that's, if you can do that and find some other talent that Elton might not have, you know, the ends with, the agents' relationships with, I think it's great for Philly.
Well, Teague, we're about 2 weeks away here from the Masters, if you can believe it. Patrick Cantlay lights out with the putter this past weekend, won the Zozo Championship. He's going to join us, talk a little golf. What kind of course will it look like in late fall down there in Augusta? That's next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.